everyone. I'm Kelsey Litchfield, back with another episode of the ILSO Advisor podcast. And today, this interview is from Commodity Classic, where we interviewed Precision Planting and the Radical Agronomics platform. Eli Sloniker with Precision Planting was able to answer some of our questions that we had about this mobile soil laboratory that they are promoting. Of course, we only scratched the surface here, and we still have plenty more questions, and I'd like to get out and see the soil lab actually in action. So this is something we'll definitely keep our eye on in the future to see how it all works. So let's get into the episode with Eli Sloniker and Kelly Robertson about Precision Planting's Radical Agronomics.
My name is Eli Sloniker, and I'm on the product support team on the Radical Agronomics platform.
So Radical Agronomics, before you explain it, can you tell me the reasoning behind the name? That was one of the first questions I had. I'm like, that's an interesting name. Do you have a backstory on it?
I was kind of a part of some of the naming, you know, processes and trying to figure out what that was. We think we landed on radical because, ultimately the goal is to radically change the fertilizer management and nutrient analysis processes. And also, it's spelled a little bit differently than like the radical, like, you know, cool factor part of it, but the radical LE kind of lends back to the, you know, plant radical, you know, like early stages of that plant. So, you know, both, you know, bringing wide change to the soil fertility space and then lending some, you know, back to the plant as well.
So give me a little bit more information about it itself. I wrote down some notes. So you have the GeoPress and then you actually have the Radical Lab. So just quickly summarize for a farmer if they're not familiar with it.
Yeah, so the products that are part of the Radical Agronomics platform, there are two main products and as well as a software platform. The first product that someone would interact with Radical would be a product called GeoPress. So GeoPress is a device that would go out in the field with the soil sampler. It would go on the back of their side-by-side, UTV, whatever they're using in the field. And its main job is to blend the soil cores together that they're pulling out in the field, blend those together, stuff those inside of a sample container called a geotube, and then also geo-reference that sample in the field to know exactly where that sample came from when it eventually makes its way back to the lab. You do that along with the Radical Agronomics app, which is on an iPad, so there they could see their field in real time and the sample points that they're dropping within the field. And then at the end of the day, they would take those samples that they stuffed and collected with GeoPress, take those to the next product from Radical, which is Radical Lab. Radical Lab is the first fully automated soil laboratory. So it's doing a process to where you load the samples on the rack at the end of the day. On your phone, you can press start, and then one by one, those samples are analyzed. And then, so really the next day, you could have a soil analysis ready to where you could build a fertilizer recommendation off of that.
Kelly, feel free to jump in. I mean, you're an independent agronomist, independent consultant. You're out there doing these soil samples yourself. What kind is this the kind of technology that's going to help you do your job?
So how does I guess a couple of questions I would have is the GeoPress, what's the purpose of it, and then are we having to sample any differently to put the samples into it?
Right. No, so our idea with the GeoPress is you bring whatever sample methods you're doing today. So whether you're doing a grid sampling or a zone sampling, a composite cores or whatever, if you're pulling 6 cores, 10 cores, whatever, it doesn't matter. So you bring your sample methods, whatever you're using. And really the main purpose of the GeoPress is one, again, to get the sample inside of the reusable geotube container. And also we believe it brings a whole lot of efficiency to the infield processes. So now you don't have to label any more soil bags. Typically, you know, agronomists that are doing this job, they spend hours out of a day potentially labeling soil bags, either writing on them by hand or putting sticker labels on the soil bags. Whereas now GeoPress takes care of all the labeling for you. You simply load in empty geotubes and start sampling, and it takes care of all the record keeping.
So is the GeoPress then how's it processing the sample, I guess? Or is it just compressing it, or what's it doing? I mean.
Yeah. So the first thing it does is you take the cores that you've pulled and then you run them through a blender. It takes a couple seconds to blend the sample. So the reason we blend it is we want to get a representative portion of that sample into the geotube. So we blend it and then you transfer that blend into a funnel, and that funnel pushes it down into a tube. So now once you initiate that process, it saves your GPS latitude and longitude location, and it pushes that soil into the tube, puts the cap back on it, writes data to that RFID tag, but it's doing that all while you're driving to your next sample location. You're not standing there and waiting for that.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's all basically automating the infield soil packaging and soil sample labeling that you're doing today.
So blending the sample, is it, so traditionally we think of, we put 8 cores or 10 cores or whatever in the bag.
Yep.
Is it reducing the size of that sample when it runs through the GeoPress then to what you're just going to use for the analysis, or is it still, I guess, how's it handling that whole sample?
So if you're pulling 8 to 10 cores, those aren't all going to fit inside of the tube. So that's why we want to blend it.
Okay.
So if we didn't blend it and we just kind of shove the cores in there, you don't really know which one of those are actually making in the tube. When we blend it, we mix it all together really quickly, and then we get a representative sample of that. Typically, a tube is going to hold, if you're pulling a 6-inch core, it's probably going to hold somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 to 6 cores. So if you're pulling 8, you're going to have a little bit of leftover that doesn't make it inside the tube, but that's why we blend it all together first. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It makes sense.
It's been in development, I read online, for 7 years, so it's taken a while to get all this. And I imagine it said there was already updates to it, so this is something that you're constantly having to improve on, probably with a lot of feedback, I imagine, as well.
Yeah, so really 7 years ago it started, and it really started after the release of Smart Firmer. So Smart Firmer is a device that would go, that would ride on the planter inside of the seed trench as you're planting. And it has a sensor that's giving you readings of soil characteristics like organic matter, CEC, things like that. So a high resolution map of different things out in the field. But that led farmers to ask, you know, what else can you measure with that? Can you measure soil nutrients? We started to go down that path, and ultimately, but it did lead us down to, you know, what are the soil test methods, the soil analysis methods of today. So from the beginning 7 years ago to where we're at now, we've definitely taken some different rabbit trails to get to where we're at today. But that was kind of the inspiration that led us to really go down the soil analysis path and what we have with GeoPress and Radical Lab today.
So when I was doing research, I wrote this in quotation marks, fertilizer is the farmer's biggest expense in producing a crop, yet the least understood. Would you agree with that? And would something like this, Kelly, help them understand it more?
Well, yeah, I think fertility in general is the hardest part of growing any crop. That, I mean, all you have to do is look around this show at all the fertility products and whatnot. So yeah, it is the most difficult, and the soil sample and the information it provides is the basis for making all those decisions. So you got to get it right to start with.
And then you have to have, you take the lab part, but you still have to have someone take that and analyze it. Excuse me. So there's still that part to it as well, that then farmers can make the agronomists can make those recommendations. So there's still definitely a person related to this. It's not all going through the machine and magically gives out the results either.
Exactly. Yeah. We wanted to be, you know, very intentional in that we're providing better tools and better data for the agronomists and the farmers that are ultimately making the decision on the farm. What the lab is giving you is we believe a more accurate and repeatable soil test. And what the GeoPress is doing for the agronomists is speeding up their processes in the field. But at the end of the day, you still have to turn those nutrient values into a usable, good fertilizer recommendation that makes sense for that farmer's operation. So whether they're doing banded fertility, strip till, no-till, conventional till, cover crops, that's going to affect your fertility management system. So we don't want to impede that or impede the local knowledge that the agronomist already has for that area. We just want to provide the data and the tools to do that job a little bit better.
So, and this isn't commercially available, so it's not like someone can just whip out and go buy one, correct?
Right. We're still in beta and limited commercial for this year, so we'll have a fairly low number of labs actually out in the field, but we will have labs in the field this year, and we actually did have labs in the field out last year as well. And then we also want to have a lot of GeoPresses out in the field collecting soil samples just to get exposure to other soil types, other soil testing practices, things like that. But still absolutely limited commercial right now.
And they're going to do a lease model, it looks like. Can you talk about that a little bit, how that all works?
Yeah, so the first thing typically everyone says when they look at the lab is, wow, that must be expensive.
That's what I said.
But what we're rolling out to those customers that are signing up for these next couple of years and really going forward is we would actually rent the equipment out to the user that's using it in the field and in their office. So now they're paying a yearly rental for the equipment, and they're paying a per sample fee just for the lab consumables. But ultimately, depending on volume and stuff, it'll still be a pretty competitive rate versus what they're paying today for a basic soil test.
Any more questions that you have?
So in the actual soil testing process, the tubes are fed in there. Is there, what is the method for check samples or making sure that something hasn't gone wrong in some place in the process?
So, to start the lab, you can do a full system calibration that checks out everything. That does take quite a while, but you don't need to do that every day. What we do have is inline cal checks throughout the day. So every 15 samples, as they're running, we're going to stop and we're going to run a calibration check just to make sure everything is still operating as we expect to. If something does not check out, we'll automatically stop the lab, send a notification to the lab user, says, cal check failed, and then us in product support, we can see all those labs remotely. So it doesn't matter where that lab is at, all the labs are cloud connected to where we can see those messages, we can see those diagnostics. So really we can be proactive and call the user and say, hey, realize you didn't pass a cal check, and give them some steps to get past that. But yeah, we have inline cal checks throughout the entire process. So if there is an issue, we can stop it and correct it at that time.
So the samples, let's say in between those 15, there was an issue. There's part of that sample still saved to rerun that at that point, or?
No, so the whole sample is used, but yeah, we would have to go back. We do have like very intensive diagnostics into every single sample, so we could go back and look and see if any of those other samples were affected. But you can also change the number of samples that run in between those cal checks if you want to run more frequently. But we have a lot of diagnostics for each sample, so we could go back and check those to see if any others were affected.
There's been a lot of changes, like I said earlier, in the 7 years it's being developed. Anything on the horizon that you can share about with it?
Yeah, so, I mean, ultimately on the lab side, we want to get more analytes, right? So right now we have pH, buffer pH, phosphorus, potassium, calcium, and magnesium. We definitely want to add more analyte sets to that. You think of things like organic matter and nitrogen are big ones.
What about sulfur?
Yeah, I mean, sulfur is one that comes up a lot too. That would kind of fall in that micronutrient package, things like sulfur, zinc, boron. Those things just all take time to develop the methods and the manifolds to be able to do it. Once you get the soil prep side of it, you can kind of do a lot of things with that. But the biggest thing there is, adding more analytes to the lab, potentially getting the lab a little more quicker so you can run more samples through it. At our field event last year, we actually publicly showed a prototype of an automated soil sampler to where now you can drive across the field and with a push of a button be collecting soil samples. So being able to marry up something like that to what GeoPress is doing, to where now I don't need to step out and manually probe the ground, I can have a device that goes through the field and with the push of a button be collecting soil samples and package those into a tube. That opens the door to potentially sampling fields more densely and maybe picking up some areas that are hidden in nutrient deficiency or whatever, and be able to correct those that maybe we haven't caught in the past just because of how we're sampling.
Great. Is there anything else that you would like to add on this subject?
I don't think so.
That's good. Yeah. Okay. Kelly's got one more question.
Do you foresee a time when the data collected with a smart firmer could then predetermine or predict where to take the soil samples at?
Yeah. So, I mean, guys are kind of doing that today. They look at, with smart firmer, they can get a high resolution organic matter CEC map. And they're using that as a data layer to figure out where they want to pull their soil samples. For a lot of guys, they'll sample strictly off of that. They'll look at that layer versus, historical yield data versus soil type, and they'll start to carve out zones that way or move points around. I don't know about doing that in an automated way. It's a good idea, but we haven't started on that yet, but guys are kind of doing that manually today, but that could be a big opportunity as well.
I know, I can't think of the name of the company upstairs, and then like SWAT.
Yeah.
What's the word I want to use? I guess using AI to say, here's where you sample.
Yeah.
So you can pull that off.
Nothing. We haven't developed anything on that yet. We're kind of leaving up to the user to be prescriptive about where they want to pull the samples. But yeah, some potential there as well.
We can see what will happen in the next 7 years. There you go.
Out of it in 7 years.
What's that?
I'll be out of it in 7 years.
Kelly's going to be retired, so. So, all right. Well, Eli, thanks for taking the time to explain things further with us about Radical Agronomics. And we'll be keeping a close eye on the ISA agronomy team, because maybe this will be something we want to demonstrate for our own farmers as well.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for the time.